tonight is on Monday night, February 2nd, or Tet Shvat. This is the Gemara Shia. We're up to Masecha Sukkah, Daf Lamed Omid Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai. We are up to, on Daf Lamed Omid Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down, after the Gemara had established that there is such a thing called a psul of mitzvah habot aveira. So the Gemara now says, about five lines before the lines get wide, Upliga de Rabbi Yitzchak. This statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochi disagrees with the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. To Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Omar Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani said in the name of Shmuel, Loishanu Elo B'yontav Rishon. That which a lulav hagazal is possible is only the first day of Yontav. Avol B'yontav Sheni B'toch Shehu Yotzei B'sha'ul Yotzei Nami B'gazal. However, on the second day of Yontav, as a result of the fact that an individual can be Mekayim the mitzvah with a borrowed lulav, so too, says Rabbi Yitzchak, in the name of Shmuel, he can be Mekayim the mitzvah of lulav with a stolen lulav. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak says. So everything that we have learned for the last couple of weeks, Rabbi Yitzchak, in the name of Shmuel, disagrees with. There is no mitzvah habav aver. However, as I mentioned to you at the time, take a look at the last Tosfos on the page. Tosfos does not believe that which I just said is correct. Tosfos says that even Rabbi Yitzchak and Shmuel fundamentally agree that there is a psul of mitzvah habav avera. Why then do they disagree on the second day of Yontav? Because we're talking about the second day of Yontav, which is only midrabbanan. And when there is a mitzvah midrabbanan, under those circumstances, the rabbanan don't have to implement the din of mitzvah habav avera. Had the second day of Yontav been a d'oraisa, under those circumstances, undoubtedly, gozel would be possible. That's what Tosfos says. Let's read it. Mitok she yotze b'shol yotze b'gozel. Hacha dafka shehu midrabbana. Here is the only time that Shmuel will disagree with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochi. Here. Because according to Rashi and Tosfos, the word Yontav Sheni, whenever we've had it in this sugya, refers to Yontav Sheni Bigvulin in Chutz Laaretz, or rather outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where the mitzvah of Arba Minim is only midrabbanan. Then, Lo Chayish a mitzvah habav aveira. Under those circumstances, he is not concerned about mitzvah habav aveira, because the mitzvah is only midrabbanan. Had, claims Tosfos, we've been dealing with it, the Oraisa, so we know of a case where on the second day of Yontav, the mitzvah of lulav is in the Oraisa, in the Beis HaMikdash. Where everybody holds it's a Oraisa in the second day in the Beis HaMikdash. All 7 days is a Oraisa. According to Tosfos, Shmuel would not have disagreed under those circumstances and would not have allowed a lulav hagazel, despite the fact that you do not require lachem on the second day of Yontav in the Beis HaMikdash. Nonetheless, mitzvah haba ba'avera would have disqualified a stolen lulav on days 2 through 7 had it been a d'oraisa. That's what Tosfos says. Now the Shagasariya, commenting on Rashi, says something which you could perhaps disagree with. Shagasariya says, if you remember correctly, there was a shita in Tosfos on Daf Tesel Amud Aleph that claimed that the entire institution of mitzvah habav aver is only a din d'rabbanan. Midoraisa, the psul doesn't exist. Who introduced the psul? Only the rabbanan. Shagasariya claims that our Tosfos here has to agree with that. Namely, why is it that I can distinguish between lulav when it's on the second day of Yontav when it is a d'oraisa, and lulav on the second day of Yantiv when it's only Midrabban. Why claims the Shachisari? Based on the fact that the institution of Mitzvah HaBavavir is only a Din Durabban. So the Rabbanan have a right to say, we apply our disqualification only to a Din D'Oraisa. But we will not choose to apply our disqualification to a Din D'Rabban. That liberty the Rabbanan have. So whenever the Rabbanan are responsible for the creation of a law, they can establish the parameters. When they want to apply it, when they don't want to apply it. So if the halacha, the psul of Mitzvah HaBavavir is a Din D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan can say that if we are dealing with a Torah law, such as lulav in the second Beit HaMikdash, in the second days of Yantif in the Beit HaMikdash, we will disqualify mid the Rabbanan a stolen lulav. But if we are dealing with what? A din the Rabbanan, such as lulav where? In Gvulin, outside of the Beit HaMikdash, where the entire institution is only a din the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan say, you know what? For our din the Rabbanan, we're not going to apply. But claims the Shagasari. If the halacha of Mitzvah HaBavavir is a din d'oraisa, then to apply it to rabbinic legislation is something that happens first time and every time. The phrase which is used is kol d'takun rabbanan ke'en d'oraisa tikun. Whenever the rabbis establish a law that what? That exists on a d'oraisa level, when they institute it on a rabbinic level, it now entertains the same characteristics as a din d'oraisa. For example, the rabbis tell us to observe the second day on. Right? So how did the rabbis tell us to do it? Whatever the Torah says, you do on day number one. The Torah says, the rabbis now say you do on day number two. So here, if the halacha of Mitzvah HaBavavir were to originate from a din d'oraisa, then claims the Shagasariyeh, you would never discriminate between lulav when it is a din d'oraisa, whether lulav is a din d'rabbanan. Under all circumstances, you would apply the rule of Mitzvah HaBavavir. Why? Kol d'takun, any time the rabbis establish a law, in our case they establish the law of what? Of lulav on the second day of Yantif, ke'en d'oraisa takun. They would establish it following the exact parameters of the d'oraisa. Just as on a d'oraisa level, midya oraisa, mitzvah HaBavavir disqualifies a stolen lulav, so too, on a d'rabbanan level, mitzvah HaBavavir is disqualified. Therefore, claims the Shagasarian, if our Tosfos is willing to distinguish between mitzvah HaBavavir on a din d'oraisa and mitzvah HaBavavir on a din d'rabbanan, it must be, claims the Shagasari, that the entire institution of Mitzvah HaBavavir is only a Din D'Rabbanan. Since it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, they can apply it whenever they would like. But, if what? If it's not that case, under those circumstances, you cannot come to such a conclusion. That's what he says. And I'll give you an illustration which might shed light, or perhaps you can use that to challenge the Shagasari. There is a very not so famous Rambam, but you should remember it. It's at the end of the Perikud Beis of Hilchos Tumas Beis. It's not exactly a Rambam when we come across near the Luther Kedoshim. The end of Hilchos Tumas Beis. But the Rambam there makes a very important statement. That the halacha of Sefer D'Oraisa L'Chumra is a Din D'Rabbanan.
The Rambam is of the opinion every single suffek min ha-Torah is mutter from the Torah perspective. Whenever you have a suffek about anything, mita oraita is 100% mutter. 100% mutter. So 90% of the questions which people call me about your Yoredeya questions would be answered according to the Rambam from the oraita perspective, mutter. Because every single suffix is mutter according to the Rambam. Who introduced the stringency that you should go the chumra on a din d'oraita? The Rabbanan Institute. The Rabbanan Institute. So the Rabbanan can say, since we are creating this halacha to be stringent, we say that for a din d'oraita, what? You be stringent. For a din d'rabbanan, what do you say? Be reading. You be reading. We reserve that right. Because we have introduced that particular rule. We have introduced that particular rule. But, take for example, I'll illustrate really Shagatai gives another flip side. Take for example, we don't pass it like the Rambam. We pass it like the Rambam that the halakha of Safek is a din d'oraita. Okay? It's a din d'oraita. So here's the case. You ate the peanut butter and jelly sandwich at your desk, very busy. And you answered the phone, responded to 20 emails. Half hour later, plunk, what question do you ask yourself? That I mentioned. Okay? Rabotai, how do you answer that question? What are you supposed to do? You must sense. Why? Satan don't rise to a chumra. Very nice. Now, how about the fourth bracha of Berachas HaMazon? That's one with the rabbi. The fourth bracha. That's not required to go right. Do you have to say that bracha when you forgot what you benched? Or do we say on that bracha we'll say, oh, only straight to the Rambam. Do you say that straight to the Rambam Lakula? No. Why? Because once you apply something to the status of the din d'oraita, then what do? You apply it even to the case of what? Of the extension with the Rambam. To the extension with the Rambam. But if you are dealing with the din d'rabbanan, then you have a right to stop playing games. A din d'rabbanan will say, you know what, I'm the right to be matna, and I'm the rabbanan, you be matna. So that's what the Shagasai is like. And our Taisvist must bind into the fact that the entire institution is only mid-d'rabbanan. Kacha omer ha-Shagasai. As you well know, the Ramban, who was the spokesman for Chachmei Sforah, does not believe, we said this 50 times in on Lamas Kafkas on the bed, does not believe that the word Yatav Sheni in this sugya refers to Yatav Sheni in out of the Beis HaMikdash. Where are we talking about Yatav Sheni? Where? In the Beis HaMikdash, where it's a Dinga Oraisa. In which case, when the Gemara says Upliga the Rav Yitzchak, that the previous Gemara was stated that Mitzvah Habav Avera disqualifies a stolen lulav, because and he disagrees with it, he disagrees with the halakha entirely, completely. Shmuel denies the institution of Mitzvah Habav Avera. Denies the institution of Mitzvah Habav Avera. Why? Because here, he is allowing you to use a stolen lulav in the Beit HaMikdash when the mitzvah of lulav is a double rice. So as opposed to Tosfos, who claims that the word Yatav Sheni is referring to as the Rabbanan text, and therefore limits Shmuel's disagreement with everything that we've done for the last 2 weeks. According to the Ramban, the gap is a very large one, a very wide one. Shmuel completely disagrees with the halacha mitzvah b'avera. It just does not exist at all. It does not exist at all. That's what the Rambam says. And he disagrees with Tosfos. However, Bnei Yeshua comes along and says, no. No. Even according to the Rambam, you are not compelled to claim that Shmuel throws out the whole halakha of mitzvah ha-ba-ba-ha-ha. Even according to the Rambam, who holds that we are dealing with Beit HaMikdash, second day in Beit HaMikdash, rule of the Zoraisa, he does not throw out the halakha of mitzvah ha-ba-ba-ha-ha completely. Only by Nurah, he throws it out. And he says something sharp. Look at the words again of Shmuel's halacha. How does Shmuel prove that Shigazel is okay? By virtue of what does he prove that a Gazel is okay? The Shoal is okay. That's his words. Mitok sheyotze b'shaul yotze b'gazel. So now, says the Pesach is something sharp. Listen to this. Let's just make believe for just a moment that this is my lula. Right here, this is my lula. Very nice. On the first day of Yom, if I see your lula over here, what is the only way in which I could possibly be mekayim in the mitzvah of lula on the first day of Yom? With your lula. I have to make a king. It must be mine. So let's assume for just a moment, that if I steal your lulav, and you will be the Ya'esh, okay? Halakhically, is this mine? Yes. Can I be the kind of mitzvah with a stolen one? No, based on the fact that it's mitzvah halavavet. Because the only way for me to be the kind of the mitzvah was to steal it. How do I steal something? I pick it up for the purpose of what? Of what? Acquiring it, stealing it. But on the second day of Yom Tov, even in the Beit HaMikdash, you don't require ownership. I don't require ownership. Therefore, me, the thief, when I pick up this lulav, I don't have to have intention to what? To acquire it. Therefore, claims the Bnei Yeshua, listen carefully, he even sharpens more, he crystallizes something we have seen in Tosfos. When does mitzvah abava aveira disqualify? When does it disqualify? Only if the act of zela is absolutely required in order to what? To be the kind of mitzvah. Then, if I acquire it through an act of an aveira, then mitzvah habav aveira is not good. But if I didn't have to acquire it in the first place, so the act of gezel, even though I intended to steal, was not absolutely indispensable for me to be the kind of mitzvah. Because had I not decided to have in mind to steal it, I'm just going to use it. I don't plan on stealing. So I will not acquire it. No. Can you fulfill on the second day of Yom Tov with a borrowed lula? 100%. That's what the Tnei Yeshua says in Shmuel. Mitov sheyotze b'shaul yotze nami b'gazel, and therefore mitzvah b'avaver doesn't apply here by lula. But don't, you're not compelled to say that you chop completely the halakha of mitzvah baba aveira out completely in the garbage can. Yes.
So that's just clarifying.
Shalom shalom dafnit. Go ahead. Please, hold on. Please, put that away for 2 seconds. Please, it's an extra. Please, do me a favor, okay? Because you're going to ask, I don't want you to just, I'm going to give you 2 seconds, and I want you to take one step further, and then you're going to have a discussion. Hold on. Yes.
Hey, I just want to clarify, this is a little different than what we said.
Of course it's a little different.
But there, we said that it has to be,
the actual zera has to be necessary in order to do the mitzvah, of course.
Here he even sharpens,
right? Because there, it's not just the fact that you have to be reconnaissance.
Correct.
You have to have it.
Correct. This is even sharper. Correct. He takes off on what Tyson said, that the Aveir is for Machmach HaMitzvah, and he takes it one step for precisely. Yes.
So what's the equation to in Zela? There's no Kinyan in anything. Is there Kinyan in Zela?
Sure you
are. By Shaul, you have a legitimate interest in it. It may not be an ownership interest, but you do own the rights to it. It's not the same
thing. That's what we said last week in the name of the right. So Yeshua says, don't be so sophisticated. You don't own anything when you are Shaul. You don't own anything. Because you don't require the heaven. If you don't own anything, the Zela factor is not contributing to your being able to be the kind of Nitzvah. Because even if I had not intended to steal it, I didn't intend to acquire it. I could be able to the Nitzvah anyway. Now say what you're going to say.
Well, it's being then that the Zela Nitzvah seems to say, I picked it up without the
Nitzvah.
Yes, I was going to.
Excellent. Good. So now, let me ask you this question. Everybody knows the Talos Beir on this chair belongs to Ben Gunn. Everybody knows that.
Probably one of the only people she will have the real up with before.
But even Ben, never asked. If someone walked in there and didn't know that he'd been sitting there for 18 years, he will not ask him to leave. Ben is okay. Let's assume I want to borrow his Talos right now. Okay? So I see his Talos lying around. Now, if I see your telephone, as an example, because I'm using it. Let's assume you don't get charged for local call.
Okay.
I see your phone, I want to make a local call. I just see your phone. Am I allowed to use it without your permission? So, tell me why not. If you borrow something without somebody's permission, you're acquainted to a ghost. There's one exception. For environments. Michale l'adam l'ne'evad mitzvah b'mamoni. A person likes it, is delighted that you are using their things, to fulfill a mitzvah. Michale l'adam l'ne'evad mitzvah b'mamoni. Good. What question is Rav Kivagan asked, to which he claims there is no answer for? He writes, the Sarachim Gav. Using Rav Kivagan writes that, it's pretty solid. What question, using that line of thinking, is Rav Kivagan going to ask? What? Excellent. So Rav Kivagan focuses on the first day of Yom Kippur, and we can take it beyond that. Why is it that you can't be Yotzei with Shaul? So the answer is why? Because it's not mine. Well, if it's not mine, why is it not mine? Why is this item not mine? Because I didn't ask your permission. That's why it's not mine. You didn't give it to me. But if when you're doing a mitzvah, the assumption is that the person grants you the right to use it, make believe that the guy granted you the lulav and he was not mentioned. Michalei la'adam l'me'evat mitzvah b'mamayim. Therefore, Rav Kivagan asks, how could you ever disqualify a borrowed lulav? Furthermore, what? Why is it in
the
what? He, even the first day. Why is this not with him? Shaul's always got it. Why is it not with
him? I asked you if I could borrow your lulav.
Good. Okay. So that is only, but here you have a halak. So if it's not Gadol,
it's Shaul.
So
he has to die.
Good. So that would be the simple answer for Rav Kivagan. But what Rav Kashi asked, even though I allow you to use it, it doesn't mean that what?
It's yours.
Now, with all due respect to everybody here on this planet, So if Tuvega asked something, he obviously could have thought it out himself. So tell me, how does Rabbi Akiva Eger understand the halacha of Michal Lei L'Hodok L'Ne'evad Mitzvah Bin Mamoneh? How does Rabbi Akiva Eger understand that halacha? Is it if what? Correct, as long as you do what? Correct. It's as if Rabbi Akiva thinks that the halacha is so what? The halacha is so reading into your mind, namely, that you, the person, would love the ability for me to fulfill a mitzvah with your mind. You would love that I can fulfill a mitzvah with your mind. What's the only way in which you know I can fulfill the mitzvah? Is if I have what? I have a bar, exactly. So Rav Kiveza's understanding is, Michalei L'Adam doesn't just mean that what? I'm going to let you use it. What does it mean? I want you to have the capacity to fulfill a mitzvah with my monetary possession.
Then how can he do that?
So I, no, because I, it's mine.
But if he mentally he's giving up it.
On condition, that's what he said. And you give it back to me. It's precisely a built-in matana amanat lahatsu. It's a built-in matana amanat lahatsu. I want, that's what you must say according to Rav today. I don't think we would have said it ourselves. I'm just telling what's running through the holy mouth of Rav today. Name it. That the way we understand the halacha of Michalei L'Adam, the Ne'evad Mitzvah of Mamone, means is that I am not just granting you the right to use my article. I will do anything necessary to facilitate your fulfillment of the mitzvah. If that means that I have in mind to grant it to you, I am prepared to do so. Obviously, as you just pointed out, I want to get it back. So on condition that last, that you give it back to me. Therefore, ask the holy God today. Why is Shaul no good? And he is even willing to tinker with what? To tinker with what? With the Gulfers. With the Gulfers. Ah, now, what might be the problem with a Gulf? If you pick up my lulav, I want you to be there for the kind of mitzvah, as long as you do what? Return. So now if I don't return it, what now happens? If I don't return it, so retroactively what happens? I didn't what? Exactly. Now he plays it out one step further. What happens if I intended to steal it. I intended to steal it. But I'm going to afterwards, I'm taking about tshuva and I give it back. Would you say I was the kind of mitzvah pointed up to Vega or no? He's not sure. But the most important thing is, until I saw this Rav Kiveva, I learned the sukkah, Luluf HaGazul, a couple of times. I never heard this Rav Kiveva. But I saw it. It's in the Kiddush of Rav Kiveva, right here at sukkah. It blew me away when I first saw the question. But apparently, that's how he understands the halacha of Michalei L'Adam L'Me'evat Mitzvah B'Mamayim. Psychologically, a person would love every Jew to be able to fulfill a mitzvah, and I am prepared to do anything to facilitate it. Therefore, yes, how could you have a problem with Shaul? Yeah?
He could have defied the Jews. He said, to a certain extent, what do you say? Gazla and I is a guy. He said, no, Michalei, because in Michalei, so to avoid the problem of Michalei about our hair, okay, are you going to go to that extent to create an actual virus for the individual? Because for certain instances, there's a mitzvah that requires a virus.
Yeah, in this case, yes.
The thing is that I would say at least that, you know, well, my tefillin. My mom, he didn't ask me my permission to use my tefillin. You go ahead.
Okay, there I don't need Rav Kiveva's halacha. I don't need Rav Kiveva to tell me that you can use my children.
Why?
Because the Mara says so.
I let you use my tefillin. If Rav Kibbeh is willing to allow this to Shaul, you see that his understanding goes beyond what the conventional understanding is. Not just that I allow you to use it, I will do anything to facilitate the mitzvah for you. Anything. Yes.
I just want to clarify. A Shaul Midas, Rav Kibbeh is not asking on that. If I say I'm lending it to you, but I'm not giving it to you, Rav Kibbeh can't be asking on that, because that is, I could be an exception to the rule of Nechalei. I'm willing to let you borrow it, but I'm not willing to give it to you. It's only the She'ela Shimon Midas where Rav Kibbeh is.
And what happens if it would be a She'ela Midas, and I'll say I'm willing to do it.
But I could be my own say, I'm only willing to lend it.
That is correct.
Correct.
1,000%. I'll grant you that.
I'm going to invite the Gemara. Masiv Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak will now challenge everything that we said. The Brisa says, Lulav Hagazel V'Hayavesh Kasha. The Mishnah says, Lulav Hagazel V'Hayavesh Pasal. Inference. Ha Sha'ul Kasha. Since only Gazel is possible, but Sha'ul is Kasha. Amos. When can I make that inference? Ilema V'Yantav Rishon Haksiv Lachem Drash Mishalachem V'Haylav Lidei. If you would like to say that we're talking about Yantav Rishon, you can't say the inference would not be correct. Because a Sha'ul on Yantav Rishon would not be kosher. Why? Because it's not yours. And you require it that it be absolutely yours. Elolav, the Yantav Sheni. Must be that this inference, when we accept a Sha'ul, is only when on Yantav Sheni. Ukatani, and what did the Mishnah say? Gazel is possible. So how can Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak say that what? That a guzzle is kosher? The Mishnah seems to indicate that a guzzle is possible. He doesn't say that. It's one done by inference. Because the Mishnah said, we look how guzzle is possible. Inference, Shaul is kosher. When is the Shaul kosher? Yantav Sheni. Yantav Rishon is Shaul is possible. So on the second day of Yom Kippur, we now know that a Sha'ul is kosher and a Gazel is possible. How can the previous speaker, Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, claim that on the second day of Yom Kippur, a Gazel is possible, when our Mishnah clearly indicates, not clearly says, but clearly indicates by inference that it happens to be possible? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Le'olam b'Yom Kippur Rishon. Really, the Mishnah is only talking about Yantav Rishon. So what question would you ask about Yantav Rishon? Why does the Mishnah have to say a Lulav HaGazel is possible if what? The Sha'ul is possible, says the Gemara. Lo Mibayi Kama. Lo Mibayi Sha'ul Delafi Dein. Not only is a Sha'ul definitely not good on the first day of Yantav. Why? Because what? Because you don't own it. Avol gazel ema stam zela yeyush bailevo ukidudei dami. Perhaps I could have said that gazel is better than Sha'ul. Why is gazel better than Sha'ul? Because there is a possibility that the ba'al was miyayish. And if the ba'al was miyayish, I, the gazel, now acquire it. I, the gazel, now acquire it. Therefore the Mishnah lets us know, no, that type of ownership is still not sufficient in order to be the kind of mitzvah. Therefore the Mishnah has to say, Lulav HaGazel Kasher, not to infer from there that what? Sha'ul is kasher. No. Why does the Mishnah say Lulav HaGazel? To tell me, not only is Sha'ul possible, but even Gazel is possible. Why would I think that Gazel might be possible? Because after Yeyush Ba'alim, if I hold Yeyush to be worth, the Yeyush alone worth, so there is a greater chance to assume that this Lulav is indeed mine. Therefore the Mishnah has to say, Lulav HaGazel is possible. So therefore, the Mishnah itself does not totally disagree with the previous speaker, Rab Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Doesn't completely disagree. Yeah. Now, I just want to say one thing about Yeush, because we're going to read the next couple of lines of the Gemara, and Rashi will offer two interpretations. It's a very interesting sugya. But I just want to say one thing about Yeush. Listen carefully to the following case. If I steal your behemoth, okay? I steal your animal. The Baal is miyaesh. And the animal is not standing in my chatzer. It's standing in the Rosh Hashanah. I stole your animal, it's standing in the Rosh Hashanah, and now the Baal is miyaesh. And now you come and what? And take the animal. And you want to bring this as your korban. The third person. Will that korban be yours, that animal be yours, or not? What's running through the question? Again, I steal the animal. Had the animal been on my rishus, and you, the owner, on the yaesh, what would have automatically acquired that? Why would you not be able to take it undoubtedly? Because it's in my rishus. It's in my rishus. Standing on my chatzer, you can't steal anything from my chatzer. But if I stole the animal and it's standing there in the rishus harav, now the Baal is miyaesh. Now you come, third party, take the animal, and you want to take it and give it to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban.
Can you consider it as a third party view that the original Baal is miyaesh?
That is correct. I am assuming that. He knew it. Otherwise he'd be a god.
So that's what I'm saying.
He's not a god. He knew that this was a stolen animal. He heard that the guy was miyaesh. Both said. So as usual, you can't go wrong. But the majority of Rishonim say absolutely no. You cannot be kind of this. You know why? Because it's not yours. Who does Yeush work for? A Gazlan. Yeush is a kinyan for a Gazlan. Not for, Yeush does not mean hefker. Yeush is not hefker. It's not hefker. If Yeush were to be hefker, then the answer would be, of course you can say it. The Baal is not hefker, is it? Yeush is not hefker. What is Yeush? What is the Yeush? When the Baal says, since somebody stole it, since somebody stole it, what do I now, what is now the Yeush? What is it? I'm never going to recover it. I'm never going to be able to recover it.
Ah,
good. Doesn't Yeush also apply to what? To Aveda? I want you to keep that away. That's an excellent question. But for now, I'm going to come back to it. But for now, maybe not tonight. But I will come, but because we have to do another couple of lines of the Gemara to appreciate it. But for now, I want you to assume the following. Yeush enables a Gazlan to acquire something. Because to some extent, a Gazlan has begun the acquisition of the item. Has begun the acquisition of the item. How has the Gazlan, give me a halacha which demonstrates that a Gazlan has already begun the process of what? Of taking it out of you, the right owner. Give me a famous halacha. It's going to be in the Daf Yomi in a couple of weeks, but you may have heard of it in a couple of months, but you may have heard about it. Gazal v'lo yismyashu ha'ba'alim shneyan einu nicholam ha'advisha. If I steal your animal, neither of us can dedicate this animal to the Beis HaMikdash.
Why can't I, the God, was dedicated to the Beis Hamikdash? Not mine. Why can't you dedicate it to the Beis Hamikdash? Because it's not your Rishus. So the fact that I took it out of your Rishus, to some degree, is impacting on what? Your sense of absolute ownership. That's why when you, the Baal HaMikdash, I now completely apply. And if there was no halacha of mitzvah havah aveira, what would happen? Would I be able to be matzish this korban? 1,000%. And in fact, if I'm matzish the hekdesh, I can't bring it as a korban. But it's endowed with kedushas hekdesh. Kedushas korban, there's no doubt about it. Can't be matzish one of them is there. Malachi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like it. So keep in mind that Yeush is a kinyan for a gazer. Keep that in mind. Now we read the next story. What? The minority opinion is that it's not only limited to a gazlan, and what's driving is what Eric said. That we see the concept of what? Of Yeush, not only by a gazlan, but by Aved as well. But the answer response to this, that you have to pick it up. We'll see. You have to find the Aveda, and then people will see. We'll talk about it. Let's see the Gemara now. A most interesting discussion. Omar lahu Rav Huna lahanu avankari. Rav Huna said to these avankari. Avankari were people who were, says Rashi, they sold all kinds of things. Rashi says they sold all kinds of little pots and pans. Needles, combs, and loving. Nice job. That's very good. Machtin, a machat is a needle. Machrekot are coals. And lulavim and esraigim, they're selling. Everybody sells a lulavim and esraigim. Right? So they're selling it. Here you go. Amalahu rabbana banka. Ki zavnitu asa me'akum. When you purchase hadatsin from a guy, lo tigzizu atun. Make sure you do not cut the hadas off the tree. Do not cut the hadasim off the tree yourself. Why? Ela ligzizuhu inhu. Let them, the owner of the tree, and I say owner loosely, the supposed owner of this field, let him cut it. The Yohavu Lechu. And then he, this landowner, will give it to you. My time, huh? What is the reason? The Gemara is a little prejudicial. These Avankari were Gentiles. No, excuse me. No, it's not Gentiles. The guy who grew the Hadassim was a Gentile. Stam Ovde Kachovin Gazlani Arataninu. Ordinary Gentiles in the time of the Gemara were always suspect of stealing land. What happened? You own the field. And this guy came and says, get out of here. I'm taking it over. Vikarka ain't a nixelis. Halachically, you can never steal karka. Halachically, you can never steal karka. Why can you never steal halakhically karka? No, give me a better reason. What? Okay, that you can say about Jackie also. So you're saying you can never hit the nail on the head. No. Because the owner never gives up hope of ever recovering. When I steal your pen, I can go to China and you're never getting it back. You can't move the property. You can do a kinyan, a shikha, you can do a chazaka, you can do something on it. But the land is always there. So one day I'm going to go to court, and the court is going to want, force me to return that item to you. So therefore, halakhically, karka eino nixelas, because it's never subject to Yehi Shabbat. the Baal always maintains an expectation that he is going to get this piece of land back. Hilkach, therefore, Rav Huna said, these are Avangri, Ligzazinu Inu, let them, the Gentiles, cut the Hashanis, Ki Hecha Dulaheva Yehush Bailam Biyadayu Ditu, Vishini Harashus Biyadayu. Now what's going to happen? Let them cut it, and when they give it to you, there is now two things. There was a Shini Rishus. It changed hands. And it's no longer what? It's no longer land. It's now a hadas. So on our hadas, will the Baal be miyayish? Will the Baal miyayish? Yes. Plus what is there? Shini Rishus. Now you will be able to use it. Now you, Avankari, will be able to use it. But if you cut it off yourself, you are the God. And then what happens? There's no Shini Rishus. So therefore you, the Avankari, are never going to be able to want to use these Hadassah. So the Gemara says, why not? Aren't you going to, isn't this Avankari going to own? Going to what? Sell it to me, and there will be Shini Rishus. So the Gemara is saying, we're talking about the Avankari himself using what? The Hadassah. The Avankari himself uses. The Gemara is going to say that in a minute. But now let's read Rashi. We have to read Rashi carefully. Top Rashi on the page. Vekarta Eino Nigzelis. Let's read the Rashi, because Rashi gives us two interpretations. Tim Omar. Eino Shinuyo Ligazlon. Land can never be transferred to a thief with any amount of yeyush. Dila olam becheskas ba'alehohi, because it always remains in the possession of the owner. The mikroi dachkolon b'hagoyzul basu. The Gemara learns that from Pesukim. Avol mishin nitlash hapri, but when the fruit / the hadas has been ripped off, heve gezel, then under those circumstances the hadas is subject to gzela. The hatosho who goes low, and the guy who rips off the hadas is the one who is the thief. Hilkach ligzazu hein min amachubar, let the Gentile cut it off from the tree. V'yitnuhu lochem, and they will now give it to you, the Avankari. Shiyu hein ha-gazlon. They, the Gentiles, will be the gazlon. V'atem lo kinosa mehem, and now you purchase it from them. V'ha-be'olim kvar misyau shukar mikol ha-peiros. And now the owner has already been miyayish. V'heve yeyush etzlom. V'achakachu mishtane merushusan. He is of the opinion that Yeyush in itself is insufficient. Insufficient. Therefore we need two things. We need Yeyush to take effect. That can only take place when what? When it's been cut. Now the Goy was the Goslin and the Baal was the Yeyush. That's not enough. Now what happens? Shini Rishus. Give me one more second. Shini Rishus. Very nice. And now you guys will be able to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. You guys will be able to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. Certainly what? Certainly what? Anybody else who's one step removed even further. When the Avankari comes around selling his needles and his airbrushes and his hadassah, certainly what? Anybody who buys it will also be able to be Yosef the Mitzvah. This is Shini Rishus a second time. But even the Avankari himself, as the Gemara will point out, can be Yosef the Mitzvah because this is Yeyush plus Shini Rishus. Inami, then I'll take your question, Doran. Inami, or alternate interpretation, Kani. Yeyush Kadi is enough. But it'll be mitzvah havav aveva. Im atem tichatchu min amechubar
T-U-A-T-E-M goes lin. Says Rashi, explanation number two.
If you, the Avantari, you Jewish merchant, cut the Hadassim from the tree, what happens? It's subject to Zayla. And the Baal will be Miyayesh. Once the Baal's Miyayesh, you can't be, you are all the owner. Now you, Mr. Avantari, will what? Will not be able to use this lula, this hadas. Why not? Because of mitzvah v'avei. Therefore, now when you, the Avantari, sell it to me, sell it to you, that's okay. That's no longer mitzvah v'avei. That's what you said. Again, two explanations. Explanation number one was that Yehush alone is insufficient. So when the Gentile cuts it, he still doesn't own it. Gentile doesn't have to worry about ownership because he's not being the kind of mitzvah of lulav. So when he sells it to the Avankari, the dealer, will be able to be yotzei a mitzvah. Why? Because there is Yehush plus Shinushus. So they have to be Avantari now also. Explanation number two. Yehush itself is covered. So if you were to pull it off the tree, you would be the God's one, and you would own it. Why did you own it? Because Yehush itself is sufficient. So why can't you, Avantari, be Yotzei the mitzvah with it? Because to you it'll be mitzvah ba'avera. But now the Vakri sells it to me or to you, for us it's not mitzvah ba'avera. Because I didn't get it through an act of zela. How did I get it? I paid for it legally with tender. Those are the two interpretations of Rashi. What question do you want to ask in the first interpretation of Rashi? Yes?
Yehush only applies to the person who stole it, not to third parties, right?
According to the first interpretation, you don't need a third part. The Avantari is the second part.
Okay, so it's saying
good.
The Avantari didn't steal it.
That's correct.
It doesn't even apply then.
Yeah, but the Yehush applies to the Gentile who stole it. But that's not enough to grant ownership. You need Yehush plus Shini Rishus. So when I get it, when the Avantari gets it, he now legally owns it. And when the Avantari gets it, he now legally owns it.
So in the previous example that we were talking about, the animal, then if the person stole the animal, sold the animal to me, then
right.
I bring it for...
He can bring it for a carbon. Unless you're going to ask one question. What halacha does Rashi introduce in the second thing, which he casually omitted in the first? What happened to the Mitzvah Baba Vera in the first explanation?
It's less lost the concept part.
What?
It's less lost the concept.
Of course.
The sale shouldn't be obvious.
Correct. That's the Tashi, Tosha says so Rashi. Again, in the first explanation, what did Rashi say? Yehush alone is not sufficient. So Rav Huna came up with a clever idea. Tell the guy to cut it off the tree. Now the Yehush takes place in the hand of the guy. And when he gives it to you, Mr. Avantari, you now acquire it because it's Yehush plus Shini Rishus. And you, the Avantari, will now be the kind of mitzvah. Ask Tosis, what happened to Mitzvah Ba'avera? How did you ultimately get this item? How did you get this item to become yours? How did you get this item to become yours? It was stolen. It was Yehush, Flark, Shina Rishus. Shina Rishus completes the act of Zayin. Why should the Avantari be able to be the kind of Mitzvah with it? The Avantari himself. Mitzvah Ba'avera for him. What about the Mitzvah Ba'avera? That's Tosfos' Kasha. That's exactly Tosfos' Kasha. How do we understand that the that Rav Huna's suggestion accomplished anything. In the second interpretation, Rashi answered the question. What did Rashi give as the answer in the second interpretation? The act of Zela was completed by whom? By whom? By whom? The Gentile. In the second interpretation, the act of Zela was completed by whom? By the Gentile. Because Yeish itself is time. So as soon as the Gentile cut the Hadas off the tree, it's no longer Mekubar. If it's no longer Mekubar, Yeush will work. Because we know
there's no
Yeush,
so...
There's no longer Kata!
I'm just saying that the owner is saying, I can't be Yeush on a property, my land.
Because I have a chance of recovering it.
Off of it, I'm theoretically being Yeush.
Yeah, because if you pulled an apple off my tree and went to Venezuela, how is the court going to prosecute you? So therefore, on the hadas that has been severed, the owner says those hadas are lost. Correct.
Going to say.
Correct. The assumption is stam zeilu yeish part. Exactly. Let's assume we know for a fact he was Leonis. Let's take care of your issue. He knows who completed the act of zeilu. The god. Now the god gives something that belonged fully to him. And he sold it to the Jew. That's not mitzvah b'avodah. Because how did the Jew acquire some? The Jew acquired from an avera?
It's satisfied the Gentile, right?
Good. Was it completely owned by the Gentile?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he sold it to the avera?
Before he sold it. Did the Gentile own it completely?
Assuming it was theirs, then we're going to say yes.
Good. Now, fair enough. What did I buy from this person? Something that...
Stolen goods.
Who said so?
The Gemara said so.
Who said that?
The Gemara says not the only one.
No! The Gemara... Now the Gemara's...
What has Hanukkah said? That it's models with my Hashem.
That's Korban!
That's a whole, that's a source of the
Entire Surah. That's Korban.
That's a source of the
Entire Surah. But now the Gemara, according to Rashi, is limiting, according to this, I am limiting the application of Mitzvah B'Avera. When do I say Mitzvah B'Avera? Who stole it in the case of Malachi? Who stole the Korban?
The
Jew. Good. So he is the God.
But if he were to sell it to someone else,
the Gemara never. The Gemara in the
Anka.
There's no thing for the guy who stole. That's not far fetched. So Rashi is now claiming something. That according to Rashi, Mitzvah Bava Vera does not apply to stolen objects. What does Mitzvah Bava Vera apply? To the person who stole.
The rule of God was good as one's move.
Correct. Precise. Lula Magadol is good once removed.
Yeah.
If you sold a Lula of Arab Yasin, and we know that the Baal was the Yayish, if Yayish could be worse, 100% I would be Yotzin Mitzvah. According to Rashi, I would be Yotzin
Mitzvah. And that's the first question also. Because then all you said to me is that once you've had a two-step process,
if you hold Yehu Shmokani, then the Jew is the one who completed the Zeila. That's the second interpretation. The first interpretation, we understand. Yehush itself is not coming. So when the Gentile cut the Hadas off the tree, did the Gentile own it yet? No, because Yehush itself is not enough. Now he gives it to the Avantari. Who completes the act of Zela? He had no, but he did. Okay? So now when you have Yehush plus Shinu Rishus, does everybody say that works? Yes. Said Rashi. Will the Avantari be able to say the Mitzvah? In this? Yes. That's crisis. Why don't we disqualify the Avantari's mitzvah based on the fact that it was a mitzvah of Avodah Zarah? Because how did the Avantari get hold of this Hadas? By buying it from a Gosman. And by buying it, what did he do? He completed the act of Zela by creating the Shinyosh.
But only if you think of it as an independent action, not if it's dependent on the Goslin, on the Gezel to begin with.
No. That's it. Here, it depends completely whether Yeush is Kani or not. If Yeush is Kone, who completed the act of Zela? The God.
Not the original person who installed this with the God.
Correct.
He does, in this case.
Because
the Yeush is Kani or not?
No. The reason why, because the God is not going to be interested in the kind of mitzvah lula.
Right.
But if a Jew were to have done it, so now, the first Jew who cut it off, that's what he called Rakhul, that's what Tony Bakri. If you're going to cut it off, exactly, you can't be Yotze the Mitzvah with this ruler, with this harvest.
Because
you will be the thief. Correct.
It would be okay.
According to the second interpretation, it's exactly what Rashi says. If the Bakri had stolen it directly, he cut it off the tree. Now the Baal is the Yash. Who is the Goslin? The Avantari. Now the Avantari says it to somebody else. It can be the kind of answer. But the Torah is going to say in 2 minutes that Rahula wanted the Avantari himself to be Yosef the Mitzvah as well, with the that he's clipping. Therefore, what did he have to do? Tell the Gentile. To cut it. So who will be the complete Goslin? The Gentile. Now the Goslin gives it to me. I'm off the hook. Because I did not acquire it at all through an act of zeila. In the first interpretation, I did acquire it through an act of zeila.
You did not.
I did not. Because when the Gentile...
He knows it was stolen.
Of course he knows it was stolen. No,
well, it's not. Well,
yes. Correct.
It
doesn't see it.
Nothing doesn't matter.
Correct. So therefore, I am now completing the act of zeila. Says Rakuna, you now have not to be on zeila. Ask Tysus, why should we ask Mitzvah Baal Bakri? What? No! Tysus said before that nobody accepts the halakha that gave to the Yisrael. Remember, he proved that last week.
Rabbi Yochanan says it's impossible anybody believes that. Those are the two interpretations of Rashi. But again, what Rav Huna tried to do was to avoid having this Jewish avankari be identified as the thief. So in his second interpretation, he managed it completely. That by Yeush itself, the Gentile is the complete thief. So the Jew avankari who acquires it is not at all involved in theft.
It's Mitzvah Baal Bakri. Rashi's principle is that if you don't acquire it through a theft, it's not Mitzvah Baal Bakri, despite the fact that it's stolen merchandise.
So the shul gets the elbows off the back of the truck, I can still buy the yotze.
That's correct. According to the first interpretation, the Gentile is never the Zionist. Who completes the act of Geneva?
The Avantari.
Good. Now he owns it. And Rakuna said, okay, you can be yotze with this. Yes, Christ, why can be yotze? You acquired it through completing the B'nai. You should disqualify because of Mitzvah Baal Bakri. Who should be the only people, according to this first interpretation, who would be able to use the lulav? The Hadassah. The people to whom the Avakri sold it. Correct. Only the second people. And the Gemara is going to say in 2 seconds that even the Avakri could have used it. That's Tosis of Kasha and Rashi.
Okay. We'll stop here, and we'll continue next Shabbat.
So why wouldn't there a private market?